you can't even drive.
Oh, look, we're live, but the thing didn't play.
Oh.
I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! A bit grey today, isn't it?
What up, homies? Let's do a sound check. Mic check 1, 2. Can you hear me, everyone? I'm here. Press 1 in the chat if you can hear me. How many mics do we rip on the daily? I say mini money. I say many, many, many. All right. Thank you very much for those people who tuned in to the actual cigar stream last night. I was a little bit miffed by the fact that the sound was a little bit out of sync, because the untold story of that stream is that the files from my iPhone were absolutely enormous. They were like 10 gigabytes each. Each like bit of the video was huge. So it took hours and hours to download them and upload them. I was trying to transfer. Fucking Apple software is bollocks. You know, the wire wouldn't transfer to my computer. It was just hours and hours of endless stuff. So when I finally rendered the file, and it came to like 5 or 6 gigabytes, and then I had to upload that. That took fucking hours as well. And then for the whole thing to be out of sync, well, you can imagine I was fuming. But I think people enjoyed it. Seems like, well, I mean, some people thought that it was one of the best streams ever. I did see a couple of dissenters here, but let's not dwell on the negative. Let's dwell on the positive, shall we? I went from negative to positive, and it's all good. You see, people got the Fugees reference, but will you get that reference? Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. All right, so I didn't. I think I was meant to be on with Hat and D today, but various different issues with there was a sports day today involving AAA had her first ever sports day. Let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I was unimpressed with AAA sports day. Okay, I was there with Mrs. AA, and for one, AAA was started crying. Okay, she started crying, and my instinct, I was like, just leave her be, or she'll get over it. Get her run up that down that field. You know, it'll build character. Mrs. AA, she wanted to go over. She wanted to comfort her. I was like, oh, don't do that. As soon as you go over there, she won't want to leave again. So anyway, Mrs. AA, being a woman, went over there. And so she spent like half of the sports day crying, right? I want to go home. No, I wasn't up for any of that. I was like, get back on there now. Anyway, in the end, after some encouragement, AAA did some running, up and down the field and so on. And then to my horror, after such mollycoddling went on, each one of the little toddlers got a gold medal. They each got a gold medal. I was like, well, hang on a second. You didn't participate in half of it and you didn't win. So what's this gold medal about? But anyway. That happened. I told Mrs. AA that there was an episode of Seinfeld called Opposite George, right? Where George Costanza learns that if he just does the opposite of whatever his instinct is, a lot of things go right for him. And I told Mrs. A, you have to be opposite George. Do the opposite of whatever instinct tells you. And that is the correct thing to do in any given situation. So that happened. What else? So anyway, because of that, there was a bit of a scheduling snafu, and I think Mr. D is not, we've rearranged the stream that Hat and D were going to do for a different Monday. And so just instead, I thought I would share the tarot poems that I wrote a while back. There are 21 major arcana, and I've done about half of them. I've done about like 13 poems so far. So it's incomplete, but I thought it might be interesting to have a little read of these and to share the process, and also to do this stream basically before I know anything about tarot, because I'll hold my hands up. I wanted to get these cards because I think they look cool. I think the symbolism is cool. I think that the imagery is just, I just get a kick out of it. I know nothing at all about tarot. And I thought it would be fun to write a set of poems about each card, knowing nothing else other than using the images as a kind of kickoff point. Okay. So I know nothing about tarot whatsoever. And I wanted to do this stream before I do a stream on tarot. There will be a tarot stream at some point on the Deepest Lore. It's going to be with Semiagog. And because the High Elf runs by his own rhythm, because the man runs by his own rhythm, that may be a rare nighttime Deepest Lore, because Semiagog will not wake up before 12 p.m. I was like, how early can you do it? Or he's like, oh, well, the earliest I can get up is 11 a.m. And even then I need an hour. I need an hour to wash my hair. So I don't know what 12 p.m. Mountain time is, but that would maybe a nighttime stream when that happens. Anyway, let me share my screen. I'm going to read through each of these tarot poems. Can you see that? Just make sure everybody can see. Is that on the screen? I'll make it big. Everybody can see it? Yes. Yes, Alex boy. And I'm going to read each one of these, and then I'm going to I'll read each one, and then I'll deconstruct each one, and then I'll move on to the next one, okay? So this is The Fool. I will read it, give you a chance to savor it, and then I will demolish it and demystify it with a cold-blooded analysis, okay? The Fool. It wasn't what I wanted, but it's happened anyway. Doesn't matter what I said or what I'll say. Been a decade since I died, and I'm still dead. Who told you that you could work with men? Now you've made your bed. I don't believe in fate, but I do believe in chains. They built a ladder to the stars. They put a pret in stains. Blood on the moon and crack in the sky. Forget about dreams and things. They decay like candle wax and cabbages and kings. I wish I was a buccaneer on a ship that sailed. But alas, I am a fool who has been swallowed by a whale. All right, so this is The Fool. As you can see, it rhymes A-A, B-B, C-C, D-D-E-E. Very straightforward poem. Did I stick to any particular meter? Let's have a look. Let's count the syllables, shall we? It wasn't what I wanted, but it's happened anyway. Doesn't matter what I said or what I'll say. No, free form on the syllabic front. Let's just discuss a few of these images here. It wasn't what I wanted, but it's happened anyway. I mean, I had something in mind, but I can't really tell you. Doesn't matter what I said or what I'll say. Been a decade since I died, and I'm still dead. Who told you that you could work with men? Now, let's see if anybody in the chat knows where I got this line from. I'll have a sip of my Nescafe Gold. It's got some cream in it, friends. Oh, cream and Nescafe Gold. Mmm. Right, where is the line, whoever told you that you could work with men, from? Who's it from? Does anybody get the reference? Who's it from? Yes! Harper. 1 point to you, my friend. Harper, I think, is the first person who got that it's from Glengarry Glen Ross. It is spoken by Ricky Roma to Williamson when he gives him, you know, you company man, you fairy. That is the line, yes. Whoever told you that you can work with men. So Harper gets the point. If you're keeping score at home, he's currently leading. So, the first quatrain there is talking about something because it's quite personal to me, but I'm not going to go into what that is. And then I don't believe in fate, but I do believe in chains. Self-explanatory. They built a ladder to the stars. Now, that is a Bob Dylan line, I believe. They built a ladder to the stars. I think it's from Forever Young. You might have to double check. They built a ladder to the stars. It's a Bob Dylan reference, which I don't expect anybody to get. Now, they put a Pret in Staines. Pret a Manger is a cafe, okay, is a cafe chain that is indigenous to London, kind of a slightly pretentious, wanky cafe, you know, coffee chain. And Staines is where Ali G was from. Which is a kind of a lower middle class, upper working class type town. So, you know, the fact that Pret exists at all is bad. The fact they put a Pret in Staines is, shows a society where everything's going wrong. Blood on the Moon. Anybody get that reference? Do you know what that's in reference to? There's a reference to something, Blood on the Moon. Anyone get it? They built a ladder to the stars. Now, what is that? That's definitely a Bob Dylan line. Built a ladder to the stars. Is it Forever Young? Could be wrong there. Anyone get this Blood on the Man? Yeah, there you go. It's from Forever Young. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. It's from Forever Young. So the Blood on the Moon. Blood on the Moon is a movie. Is a film. Let me just show you. It's a 1948 film. Psychological western starring Robert Mitchum. So, you know, this is you'll learn. Crack in the sky, my friends, is another reference. Let's see if anybody gets what the reference is. Crack in the sky. D would get it straight away. D would know what Crack in the Sky is from. Yes, it's Bowie, but what's the song? Let's have a look, chat. All the nightmares came today. Looks at the they're here to stay. Oh yes, Page Unknown. There you go. There's a Page Unknown. Don't you know you're sending your mamas and papas insane? Let me make it plain. Gotta wait, make way for the Homo Superior. Okay, so the crack in the skies of Bowie. Forget about dreams and things. They decay like candle wax and cabbages and kings. So where's the cabbages and kings? No, that's a very famous reference, cabbages and kings. I wrote the poem Arbane Sword. I wrote it. I wrote all these poems. So tell me, cabbages and kings, what's it from? Spindly, straight in there. It's from The Walrus and the Carpenter, from Lewis Carroll's Alice. Is it in Alice in Wonderland or Alice in Through the Looking Glass? I'm not sure. I think it's Alice in Wonderland, The Walrus and the Carpenter. So Lewis Carroll. So we're looking at Spindly's got a point. Get that cookie. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Maxwell House did write these. Yes. But let me tell you a secret, friends. I am Maxwell House. Okay. All right. So then I wish I was a buccaneer on a ship that sailed. Now, as I was writing that line, I had a character from Baldur's Gate 2 in mind called Simon Harvarian. He was the buccaneer in particular who was on the ship. But alas, I am a fool who's been swallowed by a whale. And of course, the whale being swallowed by a whale is also a famous reference that, frankly, if you don't get, you don't deserve to be on watching this stream, period. Yes, both the Bible and Pinocchio are being sawed very much. Both the Bible and Pinocchio. Very, very good. All right, so that was the first one. That was the first poem. Let me read through the second one. This is The Magician. As I was looking at the moon, the serpent said to me, "Mix mercury and poison, for chaos is a dragon." I threw salt in his eyes, and he turned into lead. I took his body like a pipe to a lake of blood. I threw it in and walked away. This is the symbol of sulfur. Who are the masters of power? Prepare the bath of the king. Wash ye seven times the lime that is not yet exhausted. Now comes the purifying fire. So this again sounds cool. I love the card. I thought this imagery sounds cool. But how did I come to write this poem? Herein lies the question. And I remember the Arbane Sword from Baldur's Gate 2. It's Arbane Sword's the little short sword, I think, that Mazzy uses. Is that right? It's a fast short sword. Am I correct, Arbane Sword? Baldur's Gate 2, Simon Harvarian. Anyway, I basically wrote this poem by picking up the Hermetic tradition by Julius Evola, okay, and literally closing my eyes and opening the book at random and then finding something cool on that page. So every single line of this book are lines from Evola's The Hermetic tradition taken completely at random. Everything like that line, "Wash ye seven times," is from some ritual he mentions. He talks about the purifying fire. He says the dragon represents chaos. He talks about mercury and poison in the book. Everything. So that's basically how I wrote this. Now there is a kind of meta reference to a certain singer who we've already mentioned, who used a similar technique when he was writing Heroes. Bowie famously used a cut-up technique where he wrote all these lines and then cut them up and put them into a hat and then got them out of a hat to write the lyrics on songs like Beauty and the Beast, you know. I think the line, "I am Robin Hood and I puff on my cigarette," was written in that way, for example. That's how I wrote. I kind of used that idea, but I used it just by picking up Evola at random. And I knew that, you see, Evola is a kind of magician, and the Hermetic tradition is a is a book all about alchemy, which a magician would do. So I just thought, well, this will make for a cool poem. Note how, by the way, I'm probably talking about really deep things in this poem. Those deep symbols that Evola's talking about in this card probably represent really dark and esoteric things. But being a postmodernist in the guise of like a, you know, in the mode of like a Quentin Tarantino, I don't care. It's all about the cool surface, the sleek surfaces for me, and just the kind of feel of it sounding cool. And that's what I was into. So there's a very kind of a kind of postmodern nihilism running through this poem, in so much as it sounds cool, but it just gestures towards something profound and isn't anything at all. It's just surface. So, you know, there was something else going on with this as well. You know, my Tarantino technique there. That's what Tarantino's like. He takes deeper forms and he just plays with them, basically. So, yes. I mean, you could say I did the reverse alchemy. I took gold and I turned it into shit with this poem. Whereas, obviously alchemy is meant to do the opposite. Okay. So let's move on. This one, the High Priestess. Did you feel it? I felt it too. But dear God, now I'm blue. The first time is tragedy. The second time is farce. But truth be told, I can't be asked. Learn to live with misery. It is as it has to be. Jacob Marley rattles chains. Every skull is laughing, but they are the lucky ones, freed from all of this. So there we go. I don't have much to say about this one. Jacob Marley, obviously a reference to Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol. Remember in the first poem I said I don't believe in fate, but I do believe in chains. So there's a kind of reference back to the first poem there. A skull looks like it's laughing, obviously. And, you know, the last three lines is basically just saying that skulls are lucky, like, because they're dead and they don't have to worry about problems like feeling happy or sad or love or anything like that. So. The High Priestess is probably some like deeply profound card or whatever. I happen to know, I know a tiny little bit about tarot. Okay. And the one little thing I do know is that the High Priestess is about intuition and feelings. And of course, so did you feel it? I felt it too, is an intuition. It's a feeling. And I'm trying to tap into the idea of feeling. Okay. But of course, the feeling I got was one of profound ambivalence. Okay. Is there a tangled up in blue? Is there a tangled up in blue reference in there? Early one morning, the sun was shining. She was laying in bed. I mean, I suppose now I'm blue, you know. I mean, yes. Oh, yes, the robe is blue. See, this is the whole exercise with doing these, is that I was just using the cards as a kind of jump-off point to write something and to see what would come. And I didn't want to intervene too much. I didn't want to read. I just wanted to sit with a card in front of a blank page and just see what would come out. And this is what came out. So, all right, let's have a look at the next ones. The next one is the Empress. Let's have a look. She gave a kiss. It was bliss. So how did it come to this? Buy a wish, buy a dish, buy a pound of bloody fish. It's mundane. It's insane. It's like the mark of Cain. When it rains, I get blamed. Things will never be the same. All the stress, all the mess, I could not care less. I confess that my quest is to divest myself of this shit. I admit I want to quit. Have a fit, do your bit. Call me a hypocrite. I don't care. I'm not there. I even took my chair. It's not fair. No repair. Okay, no need to swear. So you can see what may be behind this poem. You can just use your imagination. However, there are still hidden references in there. The second line actually has a... What's the reference to buying fish? Does anybody can anybody pick up on where there's a favorite film of mine, which where fish buying occurs? So see if anybody gets it. That was some true deep lore points. Let's have a look. Let's have a look to see if anybody gets the buying fish. It's from a film. I'll give you that much. We're going to buy some fish. We're going to buy some fish. So if anybody gets it, I'll have another sip of my coffee to see if anybody gets it. No, it's not Monty Python. It's not a fish called Wanda. C123 is there. Michael says it in Mary Poppins, but it just so happens that on the day I wrote that, someone I know, let's just say, had been off to the fish shop and bought some fish. So yeah, it's Mary Poppins. It's Mary Poppins. What else? I can't remember where the rhyme scheme. She gave a kiss, it was bliss. How did it come to this? I mean, it's there's a name for this meter, because it's got three, each foot has got three syllables. So I'm trying to remember what that's called, that meter. But William Blake uses it on occasion. Yeah, there's a few other things. The when it rains, I get blamed part. There was this, so I mentioned the Mark of Cain there. Obviously, that puts you in mind of the Bible and Christian stuff. There was this really awful TV series on in the 80s where I think, like, was it Jesus or the angel Gabriel or something like that came down to Earth and hung out with this trucker guy, and he made it rain. Over the head, like everyone, when he was bad, he made it rain over his head. What the hell was the name of that? TV series? I mentioned it before. D remembered what it was. I just can't remember what the name of the damn thing was. Was it just called Michael or something like that? See if anybody remembers that. Schlott would know, but she's probably in bed at the moment. Highway to Heaven. Is that right? Is that what it was called? I think it was called Highway to Heaven. Highway to Heaven. How was it? American drama series. Yeah, that was exactly it. The guy, Michael Landon was the angel and Victor French was the trucker dude. And every once in a while he'd make it rain. Oh, of course, they've remade it with a black woman. Of course they have. Of course they fucking have. But anyway, in the 80s, it was in the 80s when I remember it from, it was two white dudes, obviously. What else? Someone's saying, wow, I didn't know you could sing. No, I can't sing. I can't sing, I'm afraid. What else have we got in here? All the stress, all the mess. Yes. It's not fair, of course, is a reference to Labyrinth. I don't expect anybody to get that, but it's a refrain all the way through the film that Bowie tells Sarah, you know, Jennifer Connelly's character. She keeps on saying, it's not fair. And he says, you say that so often. I wonder what your basis of comparison is. Well, let's see how you deal with this little slice. yes. All right. So that's the Empress. Here is the Emperor. Let me read this one. I said, what you're looking at, stinking pikey. He said, you mucker, you. I said, have you heard of W.B. Yeats? He said, you what, mate? You fucking what? I said, don't take another step. I'll gut you like a pig. Stick an apple in your mouth. You'll squeal like a bitch. He pulled out a knife. Ape face, imp face, angry dog face, heavy sullen ox face. I said, the world was made a worse place the moment you were born. You are a child of spleen. Your mother was a rape victim. He charged and slashed. Blood dripped in my mouth. Go for the eyes, boo. For the eyes. Scuffle, scuffle, scrap metal dance. Rugby tackle to the ankle. His face hit the floor. I kicked him in the head. He flailed and shouted. I ran away. So that was the Emperor. Like I said, all of these were unmediated, and I just wrote down just what came into my head, okay? So let's see where some of the So the W.B. Yeats reference, I was just thinking, like, in a situation like this, what is the most wankerish possible thing that you could say? And I think, like, have you heard of W.B. Yeats? Probably get you a clip around the head, you know. I remember when I was growing up, people loved to say, oh, you're right, mucker. Oh, you're right, mucker. Or I remember that lingo from when I was a teenager. So that was that. And also, you know, there was a lot of people called, like, you know, anyone who was a bit scummy was a chav or a pikey, you know. So that's where this language comes from. I'll gut you like a pig. Probably I was thinking of Love, Honor and Obey by starring Ray Winstone. There's a moment in that film where this guy is, like, doing all these, he reckons he's been training to do ninja or karate or whatever. And, you know, one of the characters just gets out a knife and, like, stabs him in the gut. You know, he was like, oh, come at me, you know, I'll deal with you. And they just stab him in the stomach. It's actually quite funny. But I was probably thinking of that character when I wrote that line. Hence the knife coming out, you know. Now, ape face, imp face, angry dog face, heavy sullen ox face is a reference to somebody. Let's see if anybody in the chat gets that reference. Let's have a look at the... does anybody get ape face, imp face, angry dog face, heavy sullen ox face? Where's it from? Wanahe, straight in there. Straight in there, Wanahe. Model Prisons by Carlyle. Plus 2 points for Wanahe, because that was a difficult one. But he got it. He was straight in. I said the world was made a worse place the moment you were born. Okay. You are a child of spleen. Is actually a reference to Shakespeare. It's an insult that King Lear gives to his own daughter, believe it or not, calls her a child of spleen. I think he's attacking Reagan, or it's either Goneril or Reagan, but I think it's King Lear. Absolutely brutal speech to his own daughter, disowns her, calls her a child of spleen, and wishes she was never born, basically. So this was my kind of modern rewrite of Lear. You know, and it's implied in that speech that, it's a horrible speech, to be honest. King Lear actually wishes that wishes that his daughter's womb would become barren and stuff. He's just like, I hate, you know, he hates his daughter that much after she betrayed him. So, and then of course, a lot of people have already picked up on the Go for the Eyes Boo reference. So no points there. That's from our Baldur's Gate, of course. Scuffle, scuffle, scrap metal dance. Yeah. Rugby tackle to the ankle is actually a reference to a game of rugby where I was playing on the wing. I was about 14 or 15. And I tackle this guy, but I went down too low. I got him around the ankles and he basically went over in a heap and I got sent off. I got a red card in that match. The only time I was ever sent off in rugby. I wasn't, what do they call it? Sin bin. I had to take 10 minutes off on the side after this particularly vicious, low rugby tackle. So there we go. So there we are. And then does anybody get, there's another Baldur's Gate reference in there. Does anybody got the second Baldur's Gate reference? See if anybody gets it. That's it. So I kicked him in the head and he was dead. Kicked him in the head and he was dead. That was the little fucking bandit pikeys in Baldur's Gate 1. They do this little... kicked him in the head and he was dead. Is Arbane Sword on 2? I think you're on 2. So, yeah. All right. So there we go. You're going to have to keep your own... I can't remember who's on what scores, so you're going to have to keep your own scores. Right, this is the Hierophant, which actually means something like Pope, or it's like he's like a religion, he's like a bishop, basically. Okay. You talk to me about peace. You talk to me about love. You talk to me about understanding. You talk to me about forgiveness. I ask you why you want any of that. I ask you if you've seen the state of things. I ask you why you break bread with the enemy. I ask you why you defile the seat of your firmament. So this is a pretty easy... I remember how I wrote this. So I didn't really know what a Hierophant was, but I looked it up and, you know, it's something like a papal figure, a bishop, a high priest of some kind. But it's typically seen as being the Pope. So what I did is that I just pulled up, the Pope, like his Wikipedia page, the last few media stories about him, to see what sort of thing the Pope has been saying. And lo and behold, Pope Francis was talking about peace, love, understanding, forgiveness. And he was talking about how Christians should make peace with the other religions of the world and so on. So it's a not particularly veiled attack on the Pope, this particular poem. There is, however, one dramatic reference in here. Let's see if anybody gets there's in the very last line, there's a reference to a particular modern play. I'll just put it that way. I'll have a sip of my coffee to see if anybody gets the reference. Joe has picked up on the Smith, the hidden Smiths reference there. That is true. Love, peace, and harmony. Is it Death of a Disco Dancer by the Smiths? Yes, that is a reference, but there's a reference in that very last line. I don't think anybody's going to get it. It's from Harold Pinter's play, The Birthday Party. There's a scene where Goldberg and McCann are breaking down and attacking Stanley, and they're bombarding him with questions. One, two, one, two, one, two. hitting him from the left and right. You should look up that scene because it's really quite an interrogation. And yeah, you're right, Joe. It's from Strange Ways Here We Come. And anyway, in the middle of that, you know, they say to Stanley, you know, you stink, you defile the seat of your firmament. So I thought well, that's a cool line. I'll take that. So, I mean, I say I take it that these are only like semi-conscious, but because I'm such a postmodern man, my imagination is entirely littered with, you know, all the fragments of these images and other texts. I can almost not think without referencing something, you know. So, yes, let us carry on. Here is the lovers. All I have left are memories, just images, not feelings, other people's photos, lifetimes long ago. I wish it were not so. You can die. I am a wraith. I wish I had some faith. No. I walk alone. I hold aloft the bone. I remember when. Never mind. So that was the lovers. The line other people's photos was actually a breakup line that I had to someone I was going out with for a while. And, you know, you have to kind of give reasons. And I said, listen, when we're together, I feel like we're in other people's photos. So that was that. what a twat I am. The wraith imagery. I wrote a set of poems years ago called the Snow That Falls. It was a sonnet sequence, and if you read those poems, I think they're in the collected works of Maxwell House. They're heavily influenced by the Frozen Throne, the Warcraft 3 add-on, where there's a character who was known as Arthas, who's become a wraith, and I thought this was quite a nice image for someone who was romantically in love or head over heels in love, but has now like seen all his dreams, like, you know, trashed and torn and faded and dead. And so this is picking up on that previous line of imagery that I had. I wish I had some faith. No, I walk alone. It's a kind of standard Nietzschean trope. God is dead, you know, the death of God. I hold aloft the bone. I mean, there's a pretty obvious movie reference that came into my image there. What's the movie reference? It's not from Hamlet, so it's from a movie. Yes. SNB, 2001 Space Odyssey. 2001 Space Odyssey. It's the chimp, the gorilla man, you know, holding up the bone after he's slain his enemies. I remember when. Never mind. Obviously, never mind. There's some pretty strong Gen X associations for a lot of people. There we go. Remember is one of the better John Lennon songs, by the way. One of the better John Lennon songs. Do you remember? I think I Remember When is the first line of some pop song. What's that pop song? I Remember When. I Remember When. I Lost My Mind. What's that one? I don't know. I mean, I just wrote these one day, you know. yeah, Crazy, is it? Crazy, is that the song? Gnarls Barkley's Crazy, is that right? I mean, I didn't really have Gnarls Barkley in mind, but it was kind of, it's there if you want to look for it. Let's carry on. The Chariot. The rush of dust, the thousand cries, fall under hoof, lance in the chest, scythed like wheat, sliced like meat, 1,000 feet, nothing to fear. Time to take your oath. So I can tell you that I wrote this poem around the same time that I was reading Medieval Feudalism by Carl Stevenson, where he talks about how the medieval knights would always equip himself with a lance, and the lance would break, you know, break itself, and then they'd get the sword and the shield out. But I was also at that time playing Mountain Blade, which so the rush of dust and the thousand, and at that time in Mountain Blade, I'd gone down to that desert bit and I was kind of kicking ass down there, and my army at that point was mainly lancers on cavalry on horseback. So there's quite a bit of Mountain Blade in the background of this poem as well. I mean, some nerd is going to say they didn't have lances on chariots, you idiot. But I don't care. I don't care about anything like that. All of these poems just go for like things that sound cool. There's nothing deep about any of them. Of course, the oath is the feudal oath, the oath of fealty, which was a very, very important thing. Yes. Yeah. Warband stories, indeed. Pretty metal, yeah. And then there is a kind of vague Smithsy echo in that first line. I think that same album, Strange Ways, starts with what is it? A Russian, a push in the land. Something like that. But anyway, there's an echo of Smith's in that very first line as well. Okay. So, yes. Sliced like meat. Okay. Let's carry on. Here is strength. Choking on ashes, crumbling castles, hellfire raining down, demons destroying the land, remote chances, every king against you, no friends, surrounded by mutants, but still endure, stand undefeated, preach to the crowd, be pitiless, don't pray for them, there's no savior coming. So I think it's pretty obvious what I'm talking about there, sort of stuff that we do all the time. I thought Yiz might like this one because it's basically our mission, her mission, all of our missions. And the reality of that mission, that we do have no friends, we are alone. Now, there's one glaring, glaring Bob Dylan reference in here. Can anybody pick up on where it's from? I'll have a sip of my coffee and see if anybody gets it. Crumbling Castles is a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard song. Very, very good. Very good. Yes, you're right, Proteus. It is from Love and Theft. I'm going to stand undefeated. I'm going to preach to the crowd. It's a Dylan, directly from Dylan. I love the word pitiless. I just think it's a cool word. Brings to mind the face of Tywin Lannister, pitiless. Don't pray for them. There's no savior coming. There's a lot of ways you could take those final two lines there. Of course, the hellfire raining down is a blues trope. probably the closest approximation is from the Robert Johnson song, Hellhound on My Trail. Blues falling down like hail, falling down like hail. So you can see the, you know, the hellfire raining down is a, and the demons. I mean, it's very deeply in the kind of Robert Johnson, Delta Blues stuff. Hellhound on My Trail. Yeah. Yes. All right. I don't get it. I've got anything else to say. The Hermit. Now survey the sheeple. Hell is other people. They're getting fatter. Exist as only matter. The unsightly horde. Throw them overboard. Watch them beg for breath. Liberty and death. My burnt offering. I show no signs of softening. So speaks for itself. Quite a few references in this one. I mean, somebody famously said that second line there. Anybody who said the second line? Yes, Joe. Joe is absolutely killing it. Sartre. It was Sartre. Obviously, Survey the Sheeple speaks for itself. Exist as only matter is a kind of is actually a reference to Julius Evola. Julius Evola had this idea that the reign of quantity makes, like, what's the point of all these millions of people existing? I'm sure he says at one point they exist as only matter, and that's why Evola actually supported population control, because he just was like, well, there's no, like, these people, they just exist for the point of existing, you know, there's no, like, higher purpose to them. The unsightly horde, throw them overboard is actually a very oblique reference to an episode of Tales of the Unexpected, right? Tales of the Unexpected. There's an amazing, like, if you can watch the first two series of Tales of the Unexpected, they have really dark introductions from Roald Dahl, and he's sitting in this chair, and he gives these kind of cryptic introductions, and then the tales are so fucking grim and dark. I just love it. And there's one episode that's set on this cruise liner. Like, all these rich and pretentious people have gone on a cruise. You know, can you think of anything more bourgeois than a cruise? Basically this guy goes on, like, this gambling streak. He starts, like, winning, but then, like, he ends up, like, putting all his money on this gambling thing, and he basically just loses everything. And at the end of the episode, it transpires that he just jumps overboard and drowns himself to get the life insurance claim for his family, because he had nothing left. And then it just ends, you know. So, and he was quite a fat guy as well. So I was put in mind of this cruise liner as I was writing this from the Tales of the Unexpected. Liberty and Death. My burnt offering is actually a reference to I was reading the Book of Jeremiah around the time I was writing this as well. And Jeremiah was just full of, you know, the idea of burnt offerings. Okay. And so when I said, I show no signs of softening, right? I was actually, in a weird way, channeling Jeremiah, in the Book of Jeremiah, chronicles how God just destroys. He's just like, listen, you know, God is going to just come and destroy everything. because you people have become corrupt and degenerate, and I'm gonna bring down judgment and fury on you through Nebuchadnezzar. And then once I'm done with them, the Babylonians will disappoint me too, and they too will be cleansed. And there's an amazing moment in Jeremiah where Jeremiah has this poem where he basically wishes he was never born because there's so much suffering in life. So it's really gloomy. But being a postmodern man of surfaces, I just thought it sounded cool. So I thought, well, you know, let's put those in there as well. So now there's the Wheel of Fortune. Nothing in the stars, books of empty words, annihilating all that's made, souls in the vortex, lies for purchase. There is no fate, dressed jackals at the gate. There is no destination, polar bears catching fish. But how will they cope? The people they need to hope. They will call you names instead. One day you will be dead. So there we go. Somewhat subversive poem by me, because I'm questioning the very concept of fate, and I'm questioning the concept of there being anything but the vortex. So again, there's a kind of Nietzschean nihilistic undertone here, very Gen X-y, you might say. There's a pretty big reference to a poem that we talked about on this channel. Does anybody get it? Anybody get the reference? There's a poetry reference. And if anybody who is really paying attention to these deepest laws should actually pick up on it. It's not from Pingu. I'll have a sip of my coffee to see if anyone gets it. I'll tell you. Annihilating All That's Made is from Andrew Marvell's The Garden, which we did a whole stream on. Do you remember? Annihilating all that's made in a green thought, in a green shade. So, it was from Andrew Marvell. The polar bears catching fish is a reference to the David Attenborough documentary I watched with the polar bear who was just kind of he hadn't eaten for days and he was just walking and looking in pools and trying to eat something. So there was that. Lies for purchase. Is actually a reference to the game Europa 1400, The Guild, where you can actually play as a priest in that game or as a preacher, and you can write poems, or you can write various things in there. You can sell them. You can actually make a living doing that. So that's what that was. Yes, the people they need to hope, they will call you names instead. One day you will be dead. Yeah, indeed. And then here's Justice. Oh, I think AAA is back. We may get an interruption in a moment. Justice. You can fulfill your dharma. You can make appeals to the Dalai Lama, but there is no karma. You can get an education, study the United Nations, or the huckster on the evangelist station. You can consult the rabbi. You can wear a bow tie. You can dress it up in a million lies. But there is a single question. Who holds the sword? So this was a my own kind of strange rewrite of John Lennon's God. You know, there's that, you know, I don't believe in Elvis, you know, that song. So the basic idea there was that, but I kind of used it for my own purposes, which was to say that the ultimate question of justice is who holds the sword? This is actually a Carl Schmittian poem, one of the very few Schmittian poems ever written, I would suggest, where I basically say, well, if you're dreaming of a neutral institution, you basically believe in fairy tales. There is no karma in this world. The bad guys don't have what's coming to them. They'll get away with it if you don't hold the sword, as we see on a daily basis. And I think that this kind of fairy tale version of the world that everybody deludes themselves into, you know, it's all right that the cheats never win, cheats never prosper. We'll get the bad guys in the end. I mean, does that ever happen? Happens in Hollywood movies. But look at the bastards who make Hollywood movies. They never get their comeuppance, do they? I mean, the United Nations makes a number of appearances in pop songs. There's a PJ Harvey song called Let England Shake, I think it's called. Let England Shake. I mean, that's probably what I had in mind when I came up with the United Nations in here. Obviously, the United Nations exists in the world, but it's funny the things that come to you when you're writing. But there's a refrain in that song by PJ Harvey, you know, gonna take it up with the United Nations. There's also a little bit of a hint of gotta serve somebody in here as well, where Dylan is listing all these kind of authorities in the world, but you've got to serve somebody. But again, I am in a way subverting that by saying like the sword is the one that ultimately decides, not all of these other things. The evangelist, huckster, the rabbi, the bow tie. The bow tie is a reference to libertarians, if people didn't get it. Sorry Radlib, but you know, the libertarian wearing the bow tie. All of these are kind of attempts to answer the question of justice, but really justice comes from the sword, is what I'm trying to say. So. The appeals to the Dalai Lama, by the way, is actually a move made by a lot of people on our side of things, ethno-Nats and so on, who appeal to the Dalai Lama when they're making their arguments. Of course, it doesn't matter because we're not holding the sword. So the appeals to the Dalai Lama mean nothing at the end of the day. So Dharma is a kind of spiritual concept. I mean, it's kind of a bleak poem in many ways, you know. All right, let's see what else we've got. I think this may be the last one. No, there's two more, I think. The Hanged Man. Mere animal cunning, agile yet untutored, jagged and darting, unattractive in a human, face of the weasel, eyes of the adder, soul of a traitor, cross palms with silver, smile in your face, knife in the back. You deserve everything coming your way. Now, it's funny what set off this poem, because yes, I had this picture of the Hanged Man, but the little story behind this is that I was on Telegram and Millennial Woes forwarded me a message that somebody else had written about Vladimir Zelensky, right? Zelensky, the Ukrainian jackal. And he said, oh, he looks a little bit like the academic agent, although where the academic agent has ancient Persian wisdom. Zelensky has, quote, mere animal cunning, which I just love the idea of animal cunning. It's also mentioned in a Chuck Dixon Batman story that I mentioned a few weeks back when I interviewed Chuck Dixon, when Talia al Ghul says it of Bane. You know, she's talking to her father and says, oh, Bane, you know, you think he's intelligent, but he has, quote, mere animal cunning. So I was so enamored with the idea of animal cunning that I wrote a whole poem about it. But because Zelensky was the start, I basically, like, I'm talking about Zelensky all the way through this. This is basically like me hoping that Zelensky gets what's coming to him. But you'd never know that if I hadn't just told you it, right? I mean, obviously there are some other references here as well. You know, there's an obvious reference to Judas in there with the crossing of the palms of the silver. There's a really cheesy reference. I started the stream with a rap song. Now there's a song by that band who I referenced right at the start of the rap group that I referenced right at the start of the stream, who have lyrics I've taken from here. See if anybody gets it. I'll have a little sip. See if anybody gets it. Yeah, Judas does hang himself, obviously. Yes, that's probably why I was thinking of Judas in the first place, to be honest. But I started with Zelensky, and then it became what it did, you know. No, people weren't paying attention enough. They didn't pick up on the group. Okay. I don't actually remember what the name of the song was now that they say it in. That's it. Yes, it was the Fugees. But what's the line? I can find the bloody line now. They definitely say at some point. That's right. So the line is, they smile in your face and they talk behind my back. It's by the Fugees. And it's on the song Fuji La. Foo la la la, it's the way that we rock when we're doing our thing. Do you remember that song? It's from The Score, and I think it's Praz Michelle who says it at some point. They smile in my face and they laugh behind my back. Or is it Wyclef? It's Wyclef Jean who says it. Is that right? Can't remember now. Anyway, it's by the Fugees. So, yeah, it is Praz. It's Praz. Who says it? I sit 90 degrees underneath palm trees, sitting in the cool breeze in the West Indies. Flee to sea, ship my keys on the Santa Maria, sip sangria with senoritas. They keep telling me this, telling me that. They smile in my face and they laugh behind my back. But what they lack is the facts about my stats. My rap impact will kill you softly like Roberta Flack. That's Praz Michelle on Fuji La. So there we go. Yes. All right. So let's carry on. I think this is the last one I did. So I haven't got beyond death yet. It is the ominous 13th card. And I wrote, why do you fear your only certainty? You try to forget me, but I remember you. Man of atoms, man of dust and blood, your manners will forsake you. Equality in silence. One day the shadow of your shadow will have faded into nothing. Come again. Now, I will say that almost every line of this poem is lifted from a very famous writer. Who was that writer? And if you can pick up on, let's say, all three references in here, I'll give you a special cookie, and then we'll call it a day for today, I think. Let's have a look. Who is... It's not Terry Pratchett. Ridiculous. Doubt anyone's going to get this reference, to be honest. I'll be impressed if anybody does. No. It's a famous writer. It's not a pop star. It's not song lyrics. It's let's just say literary works. No, you're not going to get it. Almost every line of this is taken from Shakespeare. Okay, the man of dust and blood, and your manners will forsake you, and the whole idea of equality in silence is taken from Henry the Sixth, Part Three, from a speech by Warwick the Kingmaker. Warwick's death speech is the first part of this. In Richard II by Shakespeare, there's a showdown between Bolingbroke and Richard II, where Richard II abdicates. It's a heartbreaking scene, and Bolingbroke is a very, very stony, silent presence in the scene. Richard is melodramatic and he's all over the place and he's, you know, going off on one. And at one moment, Richard smashes the mirror and it fragments all over the floor. And he's like, oh, there it is. There lies my face in 1,000 shards on the floor. And Bolingbroke just says, and by this point, he's Henry IV. He says, the shadow of your face. What does he say? The shadow of your face lies in the shadow of the floor, or something like that. And so the shadow of the shadow is a direct reference to that scene in Richard II. And then, of course, King Lear, famous, nothing comes of nothing. Come again. The fool in King Lear says that. Nothing comes of nothing. Come again. And of course, the come again at the end is a kind of neat way of saying, well, it all stuck, like you die, but the process of life and death goes on and on and on. So I thought it'd be cool to stick it in at the end there. So, yes. Yes. I mean, that scene in Richard II is really cool. What exactly does Bolingbroke say in that scene? Is the shadow. Yes. Cool scene. See if I can find it a minute, because it's the shadow of your sorrow. I said the shadow of your sorrow. Let's see if I can read a bit of that, because it's cool, and then we'll get out of here, I think. So it's Act 5, Scene 3. I'll just pull it up, and I'll read a bit of Richard II before we get out of here. Yes. No, it's not. It's not that scene. It's the wrong scene. There we go. Act 4, Scene 1. There we go. All right. Act 4, Scene 1. I'll read a bit of this and then we'll do the super chats and get out of here. So, he says, right, so this is Richard II. Give me that glass, and therein I will read. He takes the mirror, okay? And then, so this is the deposed king, Richard II, looking at his own face in the mirror. He says, no deeper wrinkles yet hath sorrow struck so many blows upon this face of mine, and made no deeper wounds. O flattering glass, like to my followers in prosperity, thou dost beguile me. Was this the face that every day under his household roof did keep 10,000 men? Was this the face that did, like the sun, make beholders wink? Is this the face which faced so many follies, that was at last outfaced by Bolingbroke? A brittle glory shineth in this face, as brittle as the glory is the face. And then he smashes the mirror on the floor, and he says, for there it is, cracked in 100 shivers. Mark, silent king, the moral of this sport, how soon my sorrow hath destroyed my face. And then Bolingbroke turns to Richard and he says, the shadow of your sorrow hath destroyed the shadow of your face. Epic. Fucking cool. All right. Let's have a look at some super chats. He says, I most certainly did like the strength poem. There is no Caesar coming to save us from the merchant laws. And that's why I push localism and parallel building. It's all most of us can do. Keep heart. Yes, he is. Well, I think the point may be this. If the Caesar does come, the Caesar is going to have to come from one of us. It's going to have to come from one of us. You can't look towards the current lot, because they're beyond redemption. That's my ultimate point with that. And then I will have a look at... And we'll have a look at the main super chats. Tell you what, you can pick up any play by Shakespeare, and there's some awesome stuff in every single one. Just an endlessly amazing writer he is. Chris Primer says, a man comes, he travels quickly, he has purpose. He comes over water. He travels with others. He will oppose. He brings violence and destruction. Well, that sounds very cool indeed, Chris Primer. Nick S. says, why not do more streams on Shakespeare? Would love to hear about Coriolanus, a very reactionary play. On the Shakespeare front, I will just say watch this space, because I happen to know that there are plans afoot to bring out some reactionary Shakespeare. So... I won't say any more about that yet because I don't think those plans are public knowledge yet. But yeah, just watch this space. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this. I'll be back tomorrow night. Now, tomorrow night on Unpopular Opinions, I hope you do tune in because we're going to be playing a very special game. We're going to be playing. We're going to be playing this game right here. Let me just show you. We're going to be playing Maddow or Spencer. I've got a whole bunch of quotations from Rachel Maddow and Richard Spencer. And the game is you have to guess who said it. Was it Richard Spencer or was it Rachel Maddow? Oh, it's going to be a blast. So I can't wait until tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. I will just remind people, buy my courses, Foundations of Economics, Foundations of Politics, The Trivium, Pharaoh's brand new course, Foundations of Entrepreneurship, all available. Populist Delusion. It's got a brand new trailer, which I published earlier on, made by a very clever chap called Adam, which I'm grateful for. Just made it and essentially donated it to me in Imperium Press. So very grateful for that. Other than that, stay strong, everyone, and get out.